Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And this morning we're visiting with Larry Jorgensen. He's an author of a book called The Coca-Cola Trail, People and Places in the History of Coca-Cola. So, Larry, first of all, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, LaVon. It's great to be on with you this morning, and it'll be fun to talk about Coca-Cola.
Yes. And lots of people in our area, of course, say you say Coca-Cola and their ears perk right up. But Larry, tell me how you got started. Why did you decide to do this story, the Coca-Cola Trail?
Well, it started out actually as a travel feature between two of the places that I talk about in the book. And both of them have Coca-Cola history. And once I realized there was so much Coca-Cola history out there, not just Atlanta, as in Georgia, but everywhere, I thought, this is more than a feature. This definitely deserves a book. And I really got into it. I'm not a Coca-Cola collector, although I've certainly learned a lot about it and have picked up a few items in my travels. But it just started out to be something of interest that evolved into a book, and it's been a great experience to
it. Now, it seems like as I look at the book, read the book, this wasn't just something you went online and gathered information. You went out there and you talked to people.
Sure did, and I met a lot of people with great stories. And, you know, it's not about Atlanta, Georgia. It's about all the places where young entrepreneurs back in the early 1900s said, you know, I think this Coca-Cola thing just might work. And they invested time and money, blood, sweat, and tears, as they say, and made it happen in their little towns. And that's what we've tried to do with the book, is to pay tribute to the early entrepreneurs that, without a doubt, were instrumental in creating the Coca-Cola, as I call it, the Coca-Cola empire. Without them, it would have, and you've got a great one right there in Atlantic.
And we're going to talk
about the Tyler family.
Yes, we're going to talk a little more about that. Because I see, as I look through the contents page on your book, you visited a lot of states, most of them south and west, Virginia, Missouri, Mississippi, Kentucky. Oh, and you went as far west as California.
Well, and actually, when you look at the start of Coca-Cola, it started in Georgia, you know, and then it got impetus from the two gentlemen in Chattanooga, Tennessee. So just by the nature of the creation of the brand, it is, there's more old history, as I call it, in the South, the Southeast, than other places.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it started, so that's where the older history is going to be. And again, that's why it makes Atlantic such an interesting community, because you all got into it early out there.
Yes, that's for sure.
And that's a great story.
In fact, in 1877, there was an Atlantic Bottling Company, not the Coca-Cola Company, but the Atlantic Bottling Company. But that soon became a part of that history of our whole Coca-Cola business, too. So one of the good things about this book is all of the stories, all of the people stories, as well as lots of other things that you've collected along the way. But one of the bad things, as I look at it, and we've talked about this, is that it doesn't include Atlantic.
But it, well, which is,
what's next?
Which is underway. The sequel, and I am going to be in Atlantic for the Coca-Cola days, and we are developing book number two, sequel. It'll be back on the trail, I guess, for lack of a better name at this point. And we've already have several chapters done. And unfortunately, our great research didn't take us to Atlantic in time to get it into the first book. It was already gone to press, as they say. So I'm looking forward to the story in Atlantic. There is so much history there, and I know it's going to be probably one of the top chapters in the next book.
Mm-hmm. So much, and I'm sure across the country we've seen the expansion. I believe you talk about, of course, a lot of the little bottling companies have disappeared, but some of those that stayed around have really been growing in a lot of different ways, and that's a part of the Atlantic story also. Now, you mentioned
very much is, you know, the trend had been for the smaller bottlers who got started to, as this evolves, to be bought out and to be consolidated and so forth. Atlantic is so unique because it went the other direction. It continued to grow and get more territory and become a bottler and do their own canning. And it's an amazing story in Atlantic. And I'm looking forward to talking to the people that made it happen.
All right. Now, we should probably mention, just in case listeners don't know, that Coca-Cola Days are 28, 29. The major things happening for the public on the 29th. And you're going to be there where all of those Coca-Cola items are being sold. You're going to be right there selling your book and talking to people.
Absolutely. Looking forward to meeting people and letting them see what we've done. You know, the book is not just history, but it is travel. Because what we have done in each chapter is find communities like Atlantic where you can go and actually see Coca-Cola history, not just read about it, but places where there's little museums or places where the old Coca-Cola plant maybe is now a boutique mall or whatever. In fact, there's a Coca-Cola plant in Alabama that was given to the city of Aliceville, and they used it to create their city museum. And it actually has some of the original equipment in the museum. And that's what we've tried to do with the book, is say, not only what is the history, but where can you go see, touch, and feel it? Where is it? I want to go look at it.
All right, so that would be a good way to kind of take a little tour through wherever you want to and learn. And the unique thing here, I think, or one of the things, is many of these are small towns because they started in small towns. They're not something that's a big tourist attraction like the Grand Canyon. They are hometown kinds of things.
Absolutely. You know, I had a gentleman from California sent me an email, and he said, this was last spring, he said, I am planning my summer vacation around your book.
Great.
So we gave him a travel guide. He obviously is a Coca-Cola fan or collector or whatever, but that was the purpose of the book, and I was glad that he responded that way.
Okay. So have you done other travel kinds of things? You started out saying this is sort of a travel guide. Is that something you've done in your career?
No, I'm an old news dog. I'm a semi-retired journalist, and I do a lot of freelance. This is only my second attempt at a book. The first one was a book I wrote that is a local into regional interest. It's about a town that is one time was very popular and now is almost a ghost town, but it's strictly of area interest. And again, it's something that as an old news dog, I had gotten interested in and felt it needed to be put on paper. It's the same thing with the Coca-Cola book. Once I got into it, I realized, although there's probably been 200 books written about Coca-Cola, no one has written about the people and places around the country that really made it happen. And I'm so satisfied the way it turned out.
And lots of interesting personal stories. It's not, again, just about the drink. It's about the people and all those interesting people that you met and all the interesting things you saw. You've got a special chapter on Coca-Cola signs.
Right. In fact, there's actually two. There's one just on unique signs, outdoor signs, and then there's a second chapter called on the ghost signs, because there is now a pretty concerted effort by several of the bottlers to go find these faded outdoor murals and restore them. And the communities that they're doing it in are just happy to have it because it's a part of community history. You know? Mm-hmm.
And we said signs, but Coca-Cola's on everything, trucks and kids' toys and decorations, and that's one of the things that people can come and see when they come to Coca-Cola Days in Atlantic.
Absolutely. You know, I mentioned in my book Asa Candler, who was the earliest Coca-Cola owners, corporate owners, after they started putting up signs all over the country. He once told the people in Hollywood, you know, it's going to be difficult for you to do a film outside without getting a Coca-Cola sign in the back.
That's true. Yes, very good. So we'll look forward to seeing you, Larry Jorgensen, at Coca-Cola Days on probably the 29th. Take a look at your book, and you can ask people questions. They may have some personal stories they want to tell you.
Yeah, bring me some stories, because we are deeply into book number two.
Well.
And looking forward to Atlantic being a great chapter.
Okay, thank you so much, Larry. And until next time, here's a thought. It's a good thing to be the real thing.